Good morning, it is Dubai Today with myself, Alex Capper-Murdoch, and joining me in the studio is Naima Jawani, of course the Child Development Psychologist at the Human Relations Institute in Knowledge Village. Now, I believe for the last few months you've actually been going through the A to Z of child development. And today, interestingly enough, we're actually coming towards the end of the alphabet, looking at Y and Z and moving back on to A. So why? Well, why and when do kids have too many questions? Z today is for Zs, sleeping, and why are sleeping routines so important for children? And moving back on to A, anxious children, what are the symptoms of an over-anxious child? All this and more on Dubai Today. Yes, it is Dubai Today with myself, Alex Capper-Murdoch, all the way through until 12 o'clock when Siobhan Live will be joining us in the studio this afternoon. And then, of course, don't forget Entertainment Today this afternoon with Zolf and Jason Lumber. I was a bit worried about Jason yesterday. I caught him reading a Good Housekeeping magazine. And yeah, I was slightly concerned. Thank you very much to Malcolm Taylor for switching off my my music this morning. I was a bit concerned when I came into the studio because they were talking about Malcolm wearing a mankini, and I'm not very sure that's a thought that I want in my head. Listen, thank you very much for joining us again, Naima. And lovely to meet you, because I know we've been chatting over the last week or so, but we've not actually had a chance to work together yet.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, good. That'll be nice. If you'd like to contribute to the show, if you have any questions on child development, especially if it's to do with the three topics that we're speaking about today, which is why and when do kids have too many questions, why are sleeping routines important for children, and what are the symptoms of an over-anxious child. If you've got any questions, you'd like some advice of your own, then text into 4001. If you do want to give us a call, we will try and answer the phone, 04-423-1010. So where are we beginning? Where do we start?
Should we start with why?
Let's do
why.
Let's do so. So why do kids have too many questions? Can children have too many questions?
That's a good question. One of the biggest things to consider is, you know, some of these questions, you know, why is the sky blue? Why do I have to go to school today? A lot of this starts at around the ages of about 2, 2.5, especially when their vocabulary starts to really blossom. I'd like to sort of, you know, root that into child development theory. And Piaget, who is one of the most prominent developmental theorists, actually said children have moved from their sensory motor state of development, which is between 0 and 2 years of development, where they're exploring the world through their reflexes, so through their mouths, through touch, through sight. But when they're moving from that stage to the pre-operational stage, everything is about language. It's all about thinking in the symbolic, fantasy play. It's all about sort of exercising what they can communicate in, which is exactly why they're expanding in terms of their knowledge base. They're naturally very curious. He also called this the intuitive thought substage. And what he basically said is that children intuitively know they have a lot of information in their brains, in their minds. What they're now trying to do with these questions is test it. Just to be able to see, how much do I know? Do I really know? Do I know enough? Can I perhaps learn some more? And it's this constant going back and forth with the parent, which is why it's very, very important for the parent to be there to answer these questions. Obviously, depending on what they're about, and with enough rationale, because they're sponges at this stage. They're looking for that information, they're absorbing that information, they're compiling that information to be able to use it for later on. So that's sort of one of the top primary reasons as to why they ask these questions. And I think as parents understand this is what they're supposed to be going through developmentally, they're making a lot more allowances for this phase. They're sort of starting to get a little bit less irritated or annoyed, and it's not just trying to test you and exercise their own vocal cords. They actually do genuinely want the answers to these questions.
Are there questions that we shouldn't be answering to children at such a young age?
You know, questions on death can become a little bit difficult to answer. Questions on divorce, questions on where babies come from, those can be a little bit tough to maneuver around. But what is very important is to keep in mind the child's developmental bracket. So, A, do they have the attention span to listen to this long-winded explanation, or are they going to be just, you know, satisfied with a very, very short, because that's the way the world works.
Like, ask your father.
Or that, just deflect it to the other parent. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of keeping all of that in mind before you actually decide to give your child an answer, which is important.
Mm. In a child's development, does it become obvious to the parent at a young age whether this child is going to grow to become a very intelligent, intellectual person?
That's a very good question, actually. And it's so interesting to see so many people, and I don't even think this is a new phenomenon. I'm sure this has happened for sort of hundreds of years. Parents, you know, always feel like their children are the smartest, and they probably are, you know. They will constantly pass through a stage where they're like, my child is so curious, is so inquisitive. It's just lovely to see the questions that come out of their mouths. And here's where, you know, this is wonderful. This parent is so in tune with their child, yeah, and is so willing and looking forward to the stage instead of saying, I really don't want to answer your questions and you're really irritating me. This is the kind of parent that says, come, sure, ask me and I'm going to be here to answer. And yes, by and large, this parent is able to tell my child has developed a healthy curiosity. And in fact, if your child is going through that era of 2 years to 7 years and they're not asking any questions, that is something you need to be a little bit concerned about, because you're supposed to be going through this developmental milestone.
Mm. And not questions like, when are we going to get there? Yeah. When are we going to get there?
When are we going to get there?
How do you answer children's questions in a way that promotes like a higher order of thinking?
And that's a really good question. I mean, there's so many different ways of sort of thinking about higher order questions. But I think one of the biggest places to start is, what kind of a question is it? You know, so is it, mom, do I have to go to sleep right now? Yes, because I said so. That can still be followed up with a little bit more of a specific answer. So yes, because sleep is very good for you. And when you don't get enough sleep, you're not going to be able to pay attention in class. You're not going to be able to have a fun time with your schoolmates. It's sort of going a little bit above and beyond just because I said so, which isn't exactly the best parenting style either.
Yeah.
Other ways, you know, to sort of encourage brainstorming or think about, you know, alternative explanations. So when you both can't answer the question, if the parent doesn't have all the answers, because sometimes they don't, it's nice to be able to say, hey, let's brainstorm some possible answers. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Why don't we go and check it out?
Why don't we go and check it out together?
Mm. You know, in this way, you're kind of leaving the child with, I'm going to be here to answer as many questions as I can. And if we don't have the answer, then we can both team up and find this answer to this question. And this is what we would call sort of higher order thinking, as opposed to because I said so.
Sounds good. So when we encourage brainstorming, I mean, is this something that we should think about setting aside time during a day anyway?
Yeah, that's a good question. One of the best ways to sort of, you know, tackle some of these questions, because you don't want to sit there in a constant battle answering questions all throughout the day, especially when you've got your routine sort of activities taking place. Dinner, after dinner, is sort of some of the best times to either sit down on the side with your child and just have a casual chat. You know, this could be over a play activity or over some kind of a special activity that you're both doing together. The idea being that the child's mind is sort of a little bit diverted, because sometimes they're not ready to open up and sit and have an intimate chat with you. But yes, setting aside time to actually brainstorm, looking for answers to these questions, is actually a very healthy approach. They then continue with this habit, so to speak, when they're older, where they go off and they look for answers to their own questions when their parents aren't around.
Do you think there's a difference in the amount of questions that will be asked between a boy and a girl?
No. In my opinion, they're developmentally similar. You know, they might be sort of a different nature in terms of the types of questions being asked. But by and large, there'll be a similar number of questions because it's the same developmental stage.
Which is surprising because generally women have a tendency of talking a bit more.
Yeah. And I mean, there's brain development to explain that. The lobes in the brain that control verbal fluency are actually thicker in women. And when you look at men who seem to have better sort of spatial perception,
they're quite thick.
Yes, exactly. They're quite thick. Not the whole brain, just like that part of the frontal lobe. It's actually very thick in men, which, you know, sort of giving a very nature-based explanation. That's why women prefer to speak more, because the area of the brain that controls verbal fluency is actually more developed and thicker, bigger in women compared to men.
So, I always wonder why I had a big head. Now I understand.
Big head.
If you would like to contribute to the show, 4001 is the SMS number. Of course, we would always love to hear from you. If you have any questions as well, Naima is here to answer them.